ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Jesse Agler and Randy Jones in studio, who are both loving this long homestand.
I like that.
It would be a burden on Blooper if we were to go to all of the places that the team went.
It might be a burden on us.
But can you imagine Blooper trying to get this thing going from, like, different remote locations every day?
He'd be in a rest home by October.
That's it.
Tonight, it's the first of four against the Dodgers. It's a rivalry that's as old as, well, one of our hosts, but maybe not the other one.
I wasn't born yet, but I have an appreciation for it. And so we'll have some fun.
Thanks for sharing that with me. I appreciate
coming up,
that.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Randy Jones. I am Jesse Agler, and tonight the first of four between the Padres and them guys, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Justin Turner with his red flowing locks taking batting practice right now here at Petco Park. Not going to matter. Not going to matter. How about that? I feel good about this series from the Padre perspective. Welcome inside the AMR studio.
I like your attitude today.
This is it, man. Let's keep the ball rolling on these guys. The Dodgers just they ran right over the San Francisco Giants, but they're about to run into a wall here at Petco Park. How about that?
Oh, you hope maybe they're a little flat. That was a big series, and they sweep the Giants. And, hey, maybe we'll catch them at the right time. And the Padres are really good at opening game of a series.
Yes.
We win a lot of those now.
Yeah.
But what we got to do is get our act together for game two and three. That's what we got to do.
And four this weekend.
I understand.
You know, I get it. You're telling me not to put the cart before the horse,
well, yeah.
Which is good advice. Let me ask you, do you make anything of that? Because you're exactly right. I mean, especially since the All-Star break, it seems like they are almost always winning the first game of the series. And then on the third game, we're like, hey, it's the rubber mat. You know,
yeah.
Is there something to that, or is it just sort of the way it goes?
Well, I would just hope there'd be something to the rubber match. There's nothing to it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I like it. I mean, hey, if you win the first one, you got a chance of a sweep. You can think about it at least for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Until you mess it up.
It makes our show more fun the next day.
Oh, obviously.
Love the wins.
I mean, I don't care if you do TV, if you do radio. Winning cures so many things.
Yeah.
Fun's just more fun to do a show.
Everybody's smiling.
Yes.
We have a good time.
Right.
Not a win yesterday, but still some nice things to talk about, particularly with Ian Kennedy. We'll get to that. Jed Jerko is going to stop by the studio, so we'll catch up with the Padre infielder, talk to him about his experiences at shortstop and also what's going on at the plate. We'll certainly discuss last night's 10-inning loss to the Texas Rangers. Before we get to any of that, Randy Jones,
yes.
Today will be a historic day in the history of this franchise. And this one might bum you out. This one might bum you out. Today will become the 134th consecutive game that the Padres will start a right-handed pitcher. And that will be a new franchise record for
really?
Most consecutive starts within a season, within a single season. Every single game, and tonight is 134, that the Padres have played this year, a right-handed pitcher has been out there. The last time the Padres started a southpaw on the mound, it was the last game of last season in San Francisco. Robbie Erlin got the start at AT&T Park against the Giants.
If I'd have known that, I'd have campaigned for Zepp to start.
Just throw him out there.
Yeah, throw him out
Give
there.
Give him the first inning.
Yeah, first inning.
Yeah.
Then let the starter go to eight.
What? So you walk into Pat Murphy's office and you say, hey, it's been a righty every game. Can we have Zeb Chinsky pitch the first? What does Pat Murphy say to you?
No.
Yeah.
Get out of my office. But, you know.
Just get out of
here. But I'd ask him, though.
Yeah, no, I know you would.
I would.
That's the
you
beauty of Randy Jones.
That's right.
How does that make you feel? 134 straight starts in the same season without a left-handed starting pitcher.
It sounds like we need a left-handed starting pitcher. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
Anybody out there agree with me?
No, I'm sure somebody does, and we'll be seeing it all over Twitter with the hashtag PadresSH. I think in the laundry list of things that maybe have not gone the Padres' way this year, I don't know that makes my top 20.
No.
Okay, so we're on the same page there.
Yeah,
and I'm having fun with you because you are not only a lefty, you are the lefty in Padre history.
I saw a tweet this morning where it's been 40 years ago this week. I was on the cover of Sporting News. I saw that.
40 years.
Thank you very much. I really needed that this morning when I got up with my coffee.
Like, oh, good morning.
Oh, good.
Oh,
four
my
decades.
Gosh.
Thanks for reminding me.
I mean, but you're still kicking butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
You should be.
Where are all the left-handers at, though?
Yeah. So I know. Anyway, I didn't want to.
I'm not going to campaign this winter.
I'm I'm suggesting your campaign begins now.
Okay.
Just go for it. Colin Ray will be out there tonight. And this is nothing personal against Colin Ray, or for that matter, James Shields, or Tyson Ross, or Andrew Kashner, or Ian Kennedy, or Odrysamer Despagne, or Brandon Morrow. This is not about them. It's just it's kind of a funny thing that's happened this year. 134 straight games tonight, which will be a new franchise record for most consecutive games started by a right-handed pitcher.
That means somewhere along the line when Bruce Bochy is here, we win 133, obviously. Okay? So I've seen it before.
Yeah. You know, it has happened.
I assure you I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you were as well. You were not pitching, though, because
no.
If you were, there would be no such streak. All right, so that's a little bit of history that will be made today after Colin Ray throws the first pitch of this game in the top half of the first inning against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The big news for L.A. is that Corey Seager is here, arguably the top prospect in all of baseball. He is starting at third base. He came up as a shortstop. He's always been a shortstop. Played, I think, 19 games at third base of the minors this year. But Don Mattingly telling reporters before tonight's game, it's probably going to be mostly third base for him moving forward. So we get an opportunity to see his big league debut tonight. He is batting eighth for the Dodgers. And we did see him in spring training. But now, for the first time in a big league uniform, Corey Seager, blah, 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 blah. Good for them. And I guess that's what I have to say about
that. We have seasons. Like we've seen a lot of people in a lot of uniforms and make their major league debut this year. Seems like a lot of pitchers and it's been around.
Here and on the other team.
And I like that. Well, sure. I mean, look at the Phillies when we talk about them and when we play them and how many young kids they've got. They're starting pitching, everything else, you know. It's pretty awesome. You know, it's a pretty special time. And that's how opportunities are created for these kids.
Sure.
It really is. And it's great to see. It's just, the game's healthy. I like it.
I agree with you. It's always cool seeing that kind of next wave of guys going and establishing themselves. Quick aside on the Phillies, just because you brought them up and we were there last week.
Mm-hmm.
Ruben Amaro is taking his lumps this year, right? You know, it took too long to trade this guy. It took too long to trade that guy. Why haven't you traded Howard? Blah, 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 blah.
Well, Utley was here too long.
Yeah, we saw last night Cole Hamels. What took you so long to trade him? They've got some really good young pieces.
Well,
And they got some more that we haven't seen yet down in the minors.
Well, all I know is a small sample size, but I was pretty impressed with what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how that formulates into the sophomore year or whatever you want to call it, but that was pretty intriguing. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep an eye on the Philadelphia Phillies. And it's not next year. It's not next year. And the pitching, I think, is maybe going to be an issue for them. But around the diamond, offensively, they got some really, really interesting young pieces. Total aside.
Yeah, but you really don't know, and like you say.
No, you're right.
It might take a couple of years, might take a year of development, but I think I'd keep an eye on them.
That's fair. You got to take some time. Don't get too ahead of yourself.
That is correct.
That kind of thing. Hey, another piece of news from today, and we will talk about last night's game coming up in a bit because Ian Kennedy was sensational. Josh Johnson will pitch an inning tomorrow night for the Lake Elsinore Storm.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I'm glad to hear that.
That's exactly how I feel.
I'm excited for the young man, and he's worked really hard. And the setback he had, nobody's thrown the baseball better a year ago in spring training than him when he had the setback then. I was really excited about Josh Johnson. Was crushed when I heard that he had re-injured it, and I couldn't believe that. And for him to go through the whole thing of rehabbing it again, and now finally getting an inning after all this work, I couldn't be happier for the young man.
In a uniform for an affiliated club. And obviously, he will not pitch for the Padres this season. Like, that's not going to happen, I can't imagine, at the big league level. Although, I guess I shouldn't say never.
I wouldn't say never.
All right. We'll see. But it's going to be kind of an inning at a time. He's going to pitch an inning tomorrow night for Elsinore. And then if everything goes well, I believe again on Monday night for the Storm.
You talk about a lot of these guys that are injured. I'd like to see him get at least one inning.
Yeah, no, you're right.
In a big league game before you go off in the wintertime. Just to really know the adrenaline and everything else that's involved, that, you know, your arm's 100%. Now you have something to build off of and look forward to. No question mark.
I guess the thing I was trying to say there was that he's not going to have any sort of great impact on the team this year, the big league team. But for a guy who has gone through the setbacks that he has gone through, both last year and this year when he was on two separate one-year contracts with the Padres, you just feel good for him as like a human being.
Yeah.
He's going to get the opportunity and go out and pitch tomorrow.
And down the road, I get excited about the opportunities and what that means for next spring.
Sure.
Him competing for one of those spots. I mean, that's healthy. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thumbs up for Josh Johnson. It's one of those things that makes you feel a little warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, if we're doing this AMR update, how about go all the way?
All right.
Anybody else down there that we should know about?
Well, Will Myers, continuing his thing, came out of the game fine yesterday at Elsinore. One game in center field, one game at first base. And it sounds like tomorrow maybe they'll decide what the next step is for Will Myers, where he's going to go on the rehab assignment, and we'll see.
Good.
That's the Will Myers.
I'm excited about that, too.
As you should be. As you should be. All right, you mentioned it a few moments ago. Somebody made your day or ruined your day, I forget, with the sporting news thing.
Kind of the middle of the early in the morning, kind of ruined it.
All right.
And now it's okay. I'm good.
Okay, you're good now.
I'm good.
Because East Village Times tweeted the picture for us. I mean, it is a great cover. It is a great cover. Appreciate you liking us back together. It is not. I feel like it's been a while, Randy, you and I on this show.
Yes, I know.
Is that Busch Stadium, by the way?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
In St. Louis? Yeah, you can tell with the stupid arches at the top.
I was somewhat the headquarters of Sporting News.
So you went to St. Louis.
Yeah, they swung by the stadium and snapped a picture.
Little AstroTurf.
Yes, it was.
When was that? I was going to say during the summer.
Yes,
because you're in long sleeves.
No, I was a pitcher. I wore long sleeves a lot.
Did you?
Yeah, I wore like during the game.
Keep the arm loose.
Yep.
It is a great. That's a great cover, man.
Yeah.
You still got a couple of those laying around, I'd imagine, right?
I'm sure I do.
That's awesome. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for sending that along. And remember, if you want to tweet us, the hashtag is PadresSH. Questions, comments. Oldest sporting news covers, really, whatever you got. Jed Jerko coming up in a little bit. When we return, get to some of your questions, get to some of your comments. Also, talk about last night, and Ian Kennedy and Cole Hamels and Benoit and Kimbrell and Clint Barmas as well, who is certainly a bright spot for the Padres. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. We're at Petco Park. The Rangers are done. Interleague play finished.
Good.
For 2015.
We're not good at interleague play.
How about one win here against an American League team this year?
What, we 1-9?
Yeah, the first game against Texas, 7-0 on Monday night.
That was our only win in interleague.
At home. How weird is that?
Well, we were, 7-13 for interleague?
Yeah, I think so. That's not a great number, no. But, I mean, it's just strange that you would only win, you know, just – it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Granted, the Astros, really good. They came here, they swept a series. You know, Seattle, you did the two here, two there, so you only had two opportunities against them. Texas, good team. You guys play good teams in interleague play this year. That's part of it.
Well, yeah, I think next year, you know, we get the All-Star game obviously here. And I, you know, usually by the end of the season, they kind of announce, you know, the American League teams that are going to come through. And
I would say within a week we'll have the schedule.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how that, you know, announce that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, no, that'll be a fun thing. Like I said, I would bet next week we'll get our first look at the 2015 schedule, not just for the Padres, but everybody around baseball. If you do the rotation thing, right, you kind of look at it, I would guess that the Padres will host and visit the American League East next year. That seems to be the rotation. So you'll get some combo of the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Orioles,
and the
Rays. And, of course, as everybody knows, the only interleague matchup to have never occurred, all 30 teams, 15 and 15, the only interleague thing to never happen is San Diego at Toronto. It's the only one of all the matchups.
What's up with that?
It's just one of those weird things for whatever reason.
Scheduling or?
The Padres have never been to Toronto. Every other potential matchup has taken place at whatever ballpark. The Padres, though, have never visited Toronto. And so I would guess next year would be the year. Because at that point, why would they send the Blue Jays here?
Good call.
You got your passport ready? Little road trip?
I'm always ready.
What do you think? You and me? Let's drive to Toronto.
Love it. Okay, we better leave early.
Yeah, we better leave 5 days before the first game in order to get
blooper,
there.
You're going to do the show for 5 days, but we'll pick it up when we get there.
I want to go.
No, you're out. But, yeah, so I would expect we get that schedule coming up in a little bit. Frank Garces is back, by the way. That roster move announced a little while ago. So another lefty added to the bullpen.
We got a couple of lefties.
Hey, you remember a few weeks ago, it was a Friday night, I believe, in Denver, Matt Kemp. In one game, He had a single, a double, a triple, and a home run.
I heard about that.
You heard about that. They call that the cycle. You may not know. Anyway, kind of a cool thing, right? So the Compadres rewards program, right, for Padre fans.
Right.
Padres.com/Compadres for more information. As one of the rewards, they created this little set of baseball cards.
You get all four at once?
For the Matt Kemp cycle.
Around?
No, you get them all at once. It's okay. A single, a double, a triple, a homer, and a cycle. The five baseball cards. So they're pretty cool, you know, with pictures and little info on the back and nuggets and cool stuff about Matt Kemp's night. So you can get these through the Compadres Rewards Program, or you can win an autographed version. How about that?
Really?
That we've got right here, Matt Kemp signing the cycle card. So
here's your autographed
by Matt Kemp.
How come you got autographed cards?
Well, because we're going to give these away on the show.
Cool.
They're not for me.
All right.
They're not for me. They're for one of our listeners and viewers. So here's the deal. We are here at the Western Metal Supply Company building in the team store.
Do they have to come by? They have to personally be here.
We're going to do that today. You know, we do different kinds of giveaways. Sometimes it's on social media. Sometimes it's, a random drawing.
It's the Dodger series. You know,
yeah,
whoever
come on
gets
down.
Those, they got to be here.
So the next person who comes over to our set, and Becky is here. You'll recognize her as the only female on the set. She's wearing a white shirt and a blue skirt.
I tried to get her to sit by me today, and she wouldn't do it.
No, she's busy. She's busy. So the first person to come by and get Becky's attention and say the magic word to her will win the autographed Matt Kemp cycle card.
What's the magic word?
Blooper.
Blooper.
Okay, so the first person to come by and get Becky's attention and say the word blooper will win the Matt Kemp cards, and the cycle card is autographed. Let's talk about last night.
Okay.
And we got Jed Jerko coming up in a little bit. 4-3, final 10. That's the bottom line. Rangers beat the Padres. And it's not a waste of a great pitching performance, because that's not a thing, I don't think. But,
I agree.
Ian Kennedy, that's him at his best, right?
That's him dialed in. And, you know, like, that's the domination of the strike zone, you know, that you want to see when you got guys coming up there, and he's got them set up for that high fastball. We've talked about his knack for being able to throw that in that right spot to get guys to chase. And then it was Gallo. He punched him out three times on that same pitch. But what sets it up is his sharpness in the strike zone. Just really did a great job.
Yeah.
And that's so much fun to see. And I know it's all about confidence, but you can just tell his mannerisms on the mound. When you get that release point, you're feeling good about it, and you can go right after hitters. I mean, it's a great feeling, Jesse.
It was fun because I was working with Bob Scanlon on radio last night, and early on, I'm saying first or second inning, you know, Scan said, you know, Kennedy's slider was a little bit different tonight, a little bit smaller, a little bit tighter, and he just really was locked in, and it was all the pitches.
Yeah.
It was all the pitches.
Well, that curveball now, all of a sudden, see, that's not rolling off his hand like early in the season. You saw a few mistakes that were hit for home runs, and in these right here, I mean, when you're doing that, he's throwing fastballs by guys at 93, 94 miles an hour. Love seeing that from him.
It was really, really fun to watch Kennedy last night. He outpitched Cole Hamels, and Hamels was really, really good.
He was Cole Hamels. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah, too many.
And, because he'd been struggling. He'd been either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
And here now, all of a sudden, back-to-back starts, he's really been out there and competing like he knows he can. And, you know, I think he's smelling a little bit the playoffs and the wild card that they're going after, and he's going to be an integral part in his next four or five starts if that's going to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. And he had the changeup going yesterday, the fastball, really vintage Cole Hamels. But as I said, I go advantage Kennedy from a head-to-head perspective.
Sure.
7 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts for Ian Kennedy.
By the combination of 20 punch-outs between the two of them
and
a starting assignment, I mean, kudos to both of them. They pitched well.
They really did, and that game was flying. You were getting really good starting pitching. And then bullpens. Jellyman has the question on Twitter, which we'll pull up, which I think is certainly relevant to the entire operation, because Kennedy did his thing. And look, he gave up runs. It's not that he and Hamels completely shut out the opposition.
Right.
Clint Barmas contributed for the Padres. Texas is that really good lineup. Jellyman comes at it like this on Twitter. He says, hey, Benoit and Kimbrel, 60-plus pitches combined,
right,
which is true, in their 2 innings last night. What's your opinion on setup and closers in non-win/save situations? First of all, Benoit, they were up a run, 3-2. So that's his normal hold situation in the 8th inning. And then obviously at that point, Kimbrel coming in a non-save situation, but a tie game at home. That wasn't the issue last night,
no.
Was it? No.
That really wasn't the issue, I don't think, especially for Benoit. You know, and he's been so good in that. I mean, he quietly goes about his business, guys, and he really has done a great job in the eighth inning for this ball club. And this year, yeah, it's taken maybe – he's had a few more eighth innings where it's taken a few more pitches, Jesse, than we prototypically see from Benoit. And last night was just one of those times where you could tell his release point, it was just when there was very erratic. I saw a 56-foot slider that Hedges made a good block on, and he almost hit a right-handed hitter with it looked like a changeup or slider. I mean, and suddenly that happens sometimes. But the great thing, he gave up the one run, which you don't want to see. But he battled out of it, and kind of kept us there. For that
didn't
reason.
Give up the lead.
Yeah,
he didn't have it. You know, it being his stuff, whatever his release point. Yeah.
We're 44-6, something like that. When leading.
Oh, he's gotten it
seven.
Done almost every time out.
I mean, come on.
There's going to be a night like that? Is that what you're saying?
You're going to have a hiccup.
Yeah.
And then Kimbrel will come out, and they're kind of the same thing.
Battled,
just. It took everything, 30-plus pitches to get out of that ninth inning, but he got out of it. It just wasn't pretty.
Yeah. 37 pitches for Craig Kimbrel. He left the bases loaded.
And what made me wonder, if you noticed, and you watched the game through a lot more breaking balls in the ninth. Like, he was having trouble with the command of his fastball. That's an indication to me as a former pitcher. So I'm going to that breaking ball a lot early. And to me, I'm going, well, that probably means when he was warming up, not really good command, or the fastball didn't feel right. And what he's trying to do is get by on that breaking ball and let it sit up the fastball. And he just had trouble doing it.
Yeah. I think it's easy to be discouraged because you almost expect those guys to be automatic, but they're not. They're humans, and maybe in a little bit victims of their own success. And again, Kimbrel didn't give up a run, but we're lumping him in a little bit because it was 37 pitches and the bases were loaded. But he got out of it.
Right.
I mean, he got out of it. And for Benoit, nobody's gonna have a 0.00 ERA pitching as often as he does. So it is going to happen. And credit to the Rangers, they got the run in the 10th. Padres had their opportunities after the game was tied, and they couldn't come up with that run that was the difference.
And the nice thing about the bullpen and these pitchers, they have short memories.
Yes.
Let it go.
Yeah, no, they're not.
We've got a brand new game today. The Dodgers are here, and let it go. It's over.
It's cool you mentioned that. I got to be a part of a little bit of a Q&A thing the other day. Mark Grant, Darren Balsley, Trevor Hoffman.
Ooh.
And I learned a lot about pitching, as you can imagine, listening to the really good questions that they were getting from a group of people. And so often we talked about the mental aspect of pitching, and particularly for a closer, Trevor, and just being able to let it go and trusting your preparation again the next day and just almost as if it never happened. Whether you had a 9-pitch, 3-strikeout performance or whether you blew a save and gave up a couple of runs and a homer.
It's really one of the advantages of a guy in the bullpen has.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he can struggle one day, and he 24 hours later, he's back out there. When you're a starting pitcher, you're going to sit there and chew on that for 4 days, chomping at the bit.
That's no fun.
I'm trying to go back out there and it's just part of the business that we do. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least coming out of the bullpen, you better have a short memory.
Yeah.
You're going to be right back out there.
That's it. All right, cool. We'll take a break when we come back. Got some Twitter questions besides that last one coming in. We'll get to those. And then Jed Jerko going to swing by as well. We'll talk to him about the shortstop situation, about the hitting, and everything else. As a reminder, too, we've got the autographed Matt Kemp cycle card. You get a single, a double, a triple, a homer. 5 cards here, and one of them autographed by Matt Kemp. We'll give those away. If you didn't hear how we're giving those away, maybe we'll tell you again in a little bit. Maybe they'll be gone. I don't know.
We'll
I cannot
find out.
Predict the future. Somebody's going to get to Becky sooner rather than later. Hey, come out to Petco Park on Saturday to be one of the lucky fans to receive a surprise giveaway item as part of Baseball Night in San Diego. Plus, you stay after the 5:40 game against the Dodgers as Will Ferrell will be here to premiere his comedy special, Ferrell Takes the Field. Get your tickets at Padres.com. And again, after the game on the big screen, Ferrell Takes the Field, a full 8 days before it premieres on HBO. Take a break. Come back. Your questions, then Jed Jerko, Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We are back at the AMR studio, we being 1976 National League Cy Young Award winner Randy Jones and Jesse. Blooper is here as well. Becky is here. Got the tweets coming in. Got Jed Jerko coming by next segment.
Hey, Blooper, but you liked it. I watched the show yesterday, and you saw me bring the sugar babies. didn't you, to Bill
That's
Center?
Right. Okay, so yesterday on the show, Bill Center was really bullying Jordan Carruth.
Yes.
Jordan was filling in for me while I was working on the radio broadcast, and Center took full advantage of the situation, and he was bullying him. And then when I stopped by to try and kind of steer it more in Bill's direction, or in Blooper's direction, I guess, more fairly, and Bill started talking about the old man candies that he liked, black licorice and things like that. And then you, being the gentleman and the scholar that you are,
you know,
you brought him some old man candy.
I brought him some old man candies for sugar babies. I
mean, things I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Bill was like, you kids with your Skittles.
I heard him say that. I cracked up.
Like Skittles are new or something.
Come on, man.
Yeah. He's like, you whippersnappers and your M&Ms.
Jolly Ranchers. Jolly Ranchers are older than him. I don't get him. Doesn't he know? You got to know your candy, man.
Yeah.
It was between sugar babies or a big hunk.
I've never heard of either.
See, that's what I mean. I knew neither one would.
Yeah.
You know.
But you can still get these things, or they're just like in your pantry?
No,
from...
you can get them. They're,
oh, okay.
You know,
do you have to go to a special place, like a museum, or how does that work?
Sometimes it's kind of just funny.
So I can't just like go to the corner store here.
You might have to go to an old candy store.
An old-time candy store.
You know, like, Boston baked beans.
I remember those.
You remember those?
The little candy.
Abba Zabba's?
No.
No.
No, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I like? And they're not old-timey, but I like the sour watermelons. Those, you ever have those?
Yeah.
Oh, those sour water, they're so good. Because at first they're sour, then they get sweet.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah, but I assure you.
Uh-huh.
Bill Center ate those sugar babies last night.
Oh, there's no question.
Point.
There's no question.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Black licorice for you? Thumbs up?
No, yeah, I like black licorice, red licorice,
Okay, so you consider red licorice licorice? Because that was one of his big things yesterday, was that, that's not really licorice.
That's being too old school. Come on, get real.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he's a little cranky.
I'll talk to him today.
All right, good. Yeah, you straighten that out with Bill Center.
I'll bring it up.
All right, good. Steve on Twitter says, "Hey, I live in Las Vegas. I want those cards." So yeah, we're giving away these Matt Kemp cycle cards. Steve, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Because we do have a couple sets of these to give away. The Matt Kemp cycle cards. Blooper, you got a picture of the cycle cards? This was cool. They're part of the Compadres Rewards Program. So you get your information, padres.com.
/. Living in Las Vegas. I don't know the
Compadres
Rewards Program.
But no, we're going to give these some more away on the show.
Okay.
And we've got Matt Kemp signed the cycle card, but you get the complete set. Maybe tomorrow or over the weekend, we'll give a pair away to somebody who's not local. But today, the rule was that you got to come down here and tell Becky the secret word, magic word. And the first person to do that wins the set of cards autographed by Matt
Kemp.
Have
you heard the secret word yet?
Oh, somebody came by? Who was it? Oh, she knows what it is.
I know, but you haven't heard it.
But nobody has said it yet. Okay. We got a crowd of people, and they must not know the word, or they just can't get her attention, because we said the first person to come by and tell Becky the secret word.
The secret word.
Will win the cards. All right, back to baseball. Paul is on Twitter next, and he wants to discuss tonight's starting pitcher. Colin Ray, the young Iowan, is on the hill for the Padres. And Paul says, is having Ray pitch against the Dodgers a good idea? That's a tough order for the young pitcher.
Come on, welcome to the big leagues. I mean,
that's it, man, right?
I mean, he's given up four runs. I mean, he hasn't gone deep into a game yet. The learning curve's tough here at the big league level, And he's got the ability to get these guys out just as much as anybody, And the big thing, what he's learning and adapting to at the major league level is, all right, first time, you get through. The second time, you get through. Third time, you better have a pretty good game plan how you're going to get him out.
Right.
Who does a better job of adjusting, the hitter or the pitcher? Now, right now, I'm saying that the hitters are doing a better job making the adjustments, and Colin Ray's got to learn that. And that's exactly where he's in school right now.
I would suggest that facing a lineup like the Dodgers, and to be fair, they're struggling a little bit. I shouldn't say that. They're not struggling a little bit. They're maybe not as vaunted as people could have expected them to be at this point in the season. Either way, I would say that facing a lineup as formidable as the Dodgers is, and it is great for Colin Ray at this point.
Oh, I think it is. And number two, this is how you learn. This is where you're going to find out. And sometimes less is better, but have the confidence to throw pitches and, work backwards on some hitters. Yeah, but I really think, and I'm watching him the first couple times through the lineup, okay. It's that third time through the lineup where I'll take maybe a little bit more of a look at him and see how he's trying to set these, how he's trying to get them out compared to the first two times they were up.
I like what you said. School is in session for Colin Ray.
It really is.
Absolutely. All right, one more tweet. Friar Gal is here, and Friar Gal weighs in on the old person candy situation. Retro candy. She says Retro Candy in Fallbrook has all of that and candy cigarettes. I remember those.
Oh yeah.
Go there sometimes. Bring like Central. It. All right, we'll go to Fallbrook and we'll check out Retro candy
in Fallbrook.
That's a place.
Got them all.
They got everything.
Thanks for the scouting report.
All right, so
we'll check that out. There.
Thank you, Friar Gal. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, Jed Jerko talk about the shortstop stuff and also about how he's swinging the bat. And more questions, comments, hashtag PadresSH if you want to jump in on the Twitter conversation. And again, the first person to get to Becky and say the magic word, the secret word, will win the autographed Matt Kemp cycle cards. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free. With quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Take a break. When we come back, Jed Jerko. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back, Padres Social Hour. We're live in the AMR studio at Petco Park. We are getting ready for the first of four games between the Padres and the Dodgers here this weekend. We're going to activate the old Cholula hot seat. Jed Jerko is here, stopping by the studio. Thank you for coming by. Very nice of you. How are things for Jed Jerko?
Things are going all right. We got a big series coming up. Hopefully we can get a couple wins.
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be a buzz and an energy when the Dodgers are here, so that makes it fun for everybody. A couple of hits last night while playing second base. But the shortstop thing has been happening. How's that going for you?
Pretty good so far. I'm way more comfortable than I thought. I think I'm getting accustomed pretty quick. Obviously, there's Barmy's been helping me a lot. Hoffy's been helping me a lot. They're making the transition a lot easier for me than what it could be. So, I think I'm pretty comfortable over there. Just got to keep getting the reps.
When you first kind of heard about it or the idea and it was brought to you, I mean, is the first thing going through your mind that, oh, it's been a while since I've played shortstop? Is it that I'm excited for this challenge? What was one of the first things to kind of pop into your head?
Obviously, I think it's, 5 years since I've been over there, so that was the first thing that kind of popped up. But, I was excited, looking forward to the opportunity to go back over there. Obviously, they believed that I could do it, so it was a little boost of confidence that I needed. And then from that point on, it was just about getting the reps, getting the work in over there that I need.
What's the trickiest part of it, you know, just moving over from second base to play short?
Obviously, the ball coming off the bat at a different angle, and then, that throw is much longer. So I've been trying to work on my arm strength as much as I can to get used to that throw, and so far it's gone pretty well.
What are some of the things you can do, you know, to work on the arm strength? Is that just like a before batting practice kind of thing, taking grounders and getting used to that throw? Is it weight stuff, some combination?
Just making the throw over and over again just to, you know, get accustomed to it. But obviously getting my arm a little bit higher, creating more backspin so the ball gets over there on a more true angle compared to second base where you kind of just flip it over there.
Makes a lot of sense. Shifting. I'm guessing when you last played 5 years ago in the Big East tournament for the West Virginia Mountaineers, you guys weren't shifting a ton, if at all. Now it's such a big part of the game at this level, so you've obviously had that happening at second base, but I imagine shifting at shortstop now, it's like a totally different thing.
Yeah. Shifting wasn't going on a whole lot when when I was there. We didn't quite have the scouting reports either, but the shifting has become such a large part of the game that obviously, even when you're playing second base, there's certain guys where I'm on the shortstop side, so it's a different game now than what even when I got into pro ball, it's changed a lot.
What's the trickiest part of the shifting? Is it the relay throws? Is it the pop up when you're kind of going back at a different angle than maybe you're used to? Is it some of the throws that you're not used to? Whether it's second, short, whatever. What do you think is kind of the biggest adjustment guys have to make?
For me and guys up the middle, I'd say probably the double play as far as the communication goes, because you're probably going at the base at a different angle that you're not used to. We're all kind of a little bit out of position from what we're accustomed to. So the double play can be a little bit tricky, and the communication is big on that.
Makes a lot of sense. Talking to Jed Jerko, let's talk some offense here. Been swinging a really nice bat. Since you came back, is there something you can point to and say, you know, that's the biggest difference for me at this point, or what would you say?
I'd say probably just recognizing – recognizing pitches, kind of understanding what the pitchers are trying to do to get me out a little bit better. As far as mechanics go, we didn't try to change a whole lot as far as mechanics, just because it's so hard to change in the middle of a season when you're playing every single day. But you know, the swing is where it needs to be. I think we're obviously going to continue to work on it, try to keep getting better. But it's a lot better than where it was.
I think fans oftentimes, you know, they'll hear a guy say, "Hey, you know, I'm working on things," or "You know, I'm watching video in the cage." The work that goes into it, though, with Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell, the hitting coaches, maybe give everybody an insight. I mean, I think it's probably far more in-depth than, you know, an average fan realizes.
Yeah, it's pretty much all day long. It's even from at-bat to at-bat, you know, your first at-bat, second at-bat, kind of understanding what the pitchers are trying to do. You know, I talk to them a lot about approach, not so much as mechanics, but, you know, what kind of approach that I need to take to go into that day and be successful.
Very cool. Jed Jerko is here. How would you describe this season? It's obviously been a weird one. You know, all the new faces in spring training, a managerial change, everything else that's gone on, both for you individually and for this team. I mean, not that we're ready to close the book on 2015 yet, obviously, still a month to go. But how would you describe this year so far?
It's been a challenging one. Yeah. I'd say if anything, it's probably been a roller coaster for obviously me personally, even the team. You know, we have shown signs of how good we're capable of being. But then we seem to follow that up with a losing streak or something along those lines. We just got to find that consistency, I think. Obviously, we got a month left to, you know, to continue to work. But I think if we can try to find that consistency and finish strong and build toward next year.
Yeah, I would imagine there's an element of that. And, you know, you hear individual guys talk about it. Will Myers and sort of his obsession with getting back on the field this year so that he doesn't have to worry about, you know, the physical thing come spring training. And I imagine, you know, for a lot of guys, it's trying to finish strong so that when February and March roll around, you kind of know where you're at.
Right, absolutely. You know, it's 162 games, you know, the last 20, 30 are just as important as the first 20. And, you know, a lot of things can happen. There's still a lot of baseball to be played. So we're gonna keep working. We're gonna keep playing. Try to win as many games as we can. Hopefully, at least try to get to 500. Hopefully, do a little bit better.
Very nice. Jed is here. Fatherhood. We're into it now, man. How's it going?
Yeah, it feels like 10 years, but it's only been, you know, a little bit over a year. But you know, they're doing great. The boys are doing great. They're getting big, learning every single day. It's crazy to watch how fast they grow up and how much they can learn in a short period of time.
Are they swinging yet, throwing, anything like that?
A little bit of both. Okay. We're working. they don't understand anything yet, but you know, they're being a little bit stubborn with the teachings that I'm trying. But you know, they're starting to figure it out.
Awesome, Jed Jerko, father, second baseman, shortstop. What can't he do? Thanks for stopping by, man. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. That's Jed Jerko on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll take a break, come back, more Social Hour as we get ready for the Dodgers right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Thanks to Jed Jerko for stopping by. Had a lot of interesting things to say.
I mean, it's interesting to hear him talk about a few things. You know, not so much the physical approach to hitting, the mental.
Yeah.
And Jesse, the more years you play, the more it gets mental, man. You know? I mean, a lot of it really is. It's I used to joke, yeah, the first couple of years, well, the game was 50% mental. And by the year I won the Cy Young Award, it was like 85% mental.
It's amazing how frequently you hear that. And with Jed, you know, when he went down to AAA El Paso, he said, look, I wasn't making mechanical adjustments. It wasn't physical. It was approach. And that's what he's been working on. And the scouting reports and that whole aspect of it.
And it's the same thing with pitching a lot of times.
Sure.
I mean, you think that everybody's just making mechanical adjustments. No, a lot of it can be, you know, your mental approach. Just being a little bit quicker, you know, making decisions. You know, all of a sudden now you're working a little bit faster. And you look completely different on the mound. It takes its own characteristics. So, you know, a lot of times it's just mental adjustments will be a lot better.
Yeah.
And so the confidence you saw in Ian Kennedy last night, were you seeing that 2.5 months ago? No.
Well, it is, and it's one of our favorite terms on the show, is it a little bit of a chicken or the egg thing? I mean, yeah. If the physical is going better, you're going to be more confident and vice versa, and around we go.
Yeah, but most of the time, it's the mental part that's going to get you through. How about the days you don't have your best stuff? You're not going to have your best stuff 35
right.
starts.
It's you what know, you do on those other days.
Mentally, what do you do with that stuff that ain't really rat pretty? Can you trick somebody? That's when it gets fun out there. You know, I had well many said. A day like that where you had to do it.
Yeah. It's all very interesting stuff. So good insight from Jed Jerko about his game. And I find the defensive stuff very interesting. He's not overwhelmed by this shortstop thing by any stretch of the imagination. You know, he's had to stretch out the arm a little bit. The throws are different. He talked about it. You know, you almost have to really make a true throw across the diamond from shortstop where he said at second, you're just sort of flipping it over there. So that's a difference. Oh, well, it's a change.
It's like when I get maybe a new young man I'm giving pitching lessons to. First thing I ask him, what other positions do you play? If they said second base, go, oh, my. Okay.
Got some more
to do. That little short throw. No, we don't do that on the mound, okay? I'm warning you.
Yeah.
You know, one of those. And it does make a difference because, you know, what you do on a throw is a little bit of muscle memory that you do on a repetitive basis. Now, all of a sudden, a shortstop, you got to pull that arm back a little bit further, you know, to get it over to yonder. So,
yeah.
I'm sure that's a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Blooper tells me we've got a winner. In the secret word competition, the Matt Kemp cycle cards. Blooper, who is the victor?
Aaron.
Good Where's job, Aaron.
Congrats, man.
All right,
so Aaron heard the secret word.
He ran down here.
It was Blooper. And Aaron wins the Matt Kemp cycle cards. Go to Padres.com/compadres to sign up for the rewards program. And all kinds of cool opportunities to do things. And those cycle cards are part of it. We've got the specially signed Matt Kemp cycle cards. Maybe we'll give away another set of those cards on tomorrow's show.
Are they all signed or just the cycle?
The one that says the cycle.
Okay.
But it's like a set. You know, you could hang it on your wall. You could frame it. Look, we're not going to drop 500 cards in front of Matt and hand him a Sharpie.
I know what he's going to say if you do.
I know what I'd say.
Same word.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go out to Twitter. Hashtag PadresSH if you want to join the conversation. You know, we often hear from Jellyman. There's apparently another Jellyman out there, Matt J., and he's a Giants fan. And he goes, hey, how about the Padres take 3 out of these next 4? What do you think? He wants some help from the Padres. Matt, first of all, 3 out of 4 sounds great to me.
Right.
But you had your chance, dude. Well, what happened to the Giants the last few days, huh?
I don't blame him. I don't know if he's a Giants fan. He should. Can we call him the Giant Jellyman?
The Giant Jellyman. I like that.
Good name.
Dodgers just beat up on the Giants a little bit. Bruce Bochy tossed in back-to-back games. And speaking of San Francisco, by the way, Tim Lincecum sounds like hip surgery. He's done for the year. Contract is up after this season. He may very well have been in a Giant uniform for the final time in his career.
Yeah, well, he might be thinking about retirement. He's had a fine career, you know, and injuries and everything else. You know, he might hang it up. You never know.
You never know. He's his own guy, that's for sure.
That's right, man.
And so we'll see what happens with that. So earlier we were getting into it a little bit about retro candy, right?
Yes.
And you and Bill Center and all that. Dennis, not a fan of that conversation. Dennis on Twitter, things I learned. Old man candy conversations more pressing than any existing baseball issue remaining in the 2015 season. Now,
Dennis,
first of all,
do you have a question?
You got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah,
forget a question.
Well, if you're gonna tweet us, then have a question. You want us to talk about something? Tweet me what you want to talk about.
There you
about.
Go. You could contribute to the thing. Here's the deal, though. We do 182 of these shows in 183 days. We talk plenty of baseball. Occasionally, we'll get a little ADD. We'll veer out of the fast lane, and we'll get carried away with something silly. But that's just us having fun, man.
Yeah.
Don't be so cranky, Dennis.
You want me to give Dennis the standard line?
Go ahead.
Dennis, get over it. All right. Get over it.
No, look right into the camera and do it.
Get over it.
There you go. All right, Dennis. Randy Jones said to get over
it. Send me a question, Dennis.
Even if you don't send a question, man. Hey, it's okay.
I love you.
It's okay. All right, so first game of this 4-game series coming up. It'll be Colin Ray. Hey, old friend, Matt Latos going.
He's been scuffling.
Yeah, he has.
It's an opportunity for us, you know, I think. He's been a little bit inconsistent. And, you know, I a couple things he does as a mechanics I don't like. I like to always – Matt needs to change a couple things. And I've always said, when you're 6'6", it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of duplicate.
And I just see, you know, his arm action and stuff, I think, is a little inconsistent. And that gets
well,
really
don't give
crazy.
Him the fix yet.
Not till,
Maybe
till
wait
tomorrow.
Till after tonight, at
tomorrow.
Least. Yeah, exactly. All right. Perfect. Hey, the Padres' wives are hosting a Players' Favorite Things basket fundraiser this Saturday at Petco Park. All fans in attendance have the opportunity to bid on more than 15 baskets that include snacks, jerseys, books, gift cards, autograph memorabilia, and more, all from your favorite Padres players. And here's the most important thing about all of this, okay? All the proceeds benefit the Monarch School here in San Diego, which is one of the absolute most worthy causes
in town.
I got
the scouting report. You know, they're
well, you've got a bag, don't you?
Yeah, I did. I got a barbecue.
Ooh.
Mine's a barbecue.
That's a good one.
There's a barbecue in my bag.
All right. Blooper says,
I stepped up, man.
Blooper says we got to take a break and get out of here. So we'll do that. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
from start to finish. It's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
We are running out of time. I want to get to one more Twitter question. All right. It comes from Tim, the SD hat guy. And it goes back to the Colin Ray conversation. Can't wait to see how he does against the Dodgers. Something of a litmus test.
Ooh.
Well said. We're doing pH balances here today. Caroline and Craig are here. They had a question about Tim Lincecum, who we just mentioned, and the Hall of Fame.
Negative.
No, I agree
with
that one.
You've got to make a bigger impact on baseball, I'm afraid.
Dennis, by the way, Dennis, he did come back with a question. We ran out of time. Maybe tomorrow, Dennis. Who knows?
Dennis.
You'll have to tune in and find out. 5:30 with Bavacqua. We'll see you then. Enjoy the game.